Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I'm joined by Seth Havager.
Good morning, everyone.
We got fun things lined up for you this hour. That ain't right stories, some good stories of the day. Also got coming up when we're done with this segment here, Seth, 23 kid-friendly Halloween movies.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Get into that. And we're all going to get into some local entertainment, too, in just a little bit, but couple of big headlines coming up. This is interesting to me.
Okay.
First up, we're not making action stars anymore. Like, the youngest action star is like 50. Like The Rock is like the youngest action star, and he just turned 50 or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah.
We will not let poor Liam Neeson retire. Poor Liam Neeson just wants to just give him a break. And every year there is another Liam Neeson movie coming out where I have a particular set of rules. And he's great. Liam Neeson's great.
I love him, but
more power to him for doing this at his age. But let's let the man do something fun. Let's let him have a break from the Taken
Please.
Movies
yeah.
and fighting wolves with his bare hands and all this stuff. At the end, whatever, he's like 65 or something like that. He's up there. This is actually kind of cool, I think.
Okay.
One of the funniest comedy franchises of all time is getting a reboot. A new Naked Gun movie is in the works, and it's going to star Liam Neeson.
Oh, my gosh.
I this is the best casting since casting
Leslie Nielsen
in the role.
Two LN names. I just realized that.
I didn't catch that until I said it out loud. So it's an interesting choice because his name is so similar to the star of the original movie.
Yeah.
But and just like Leslie, Neeson goes into it having been known primarily for serious roles.
Exactly.
Technically, Liam Neeson's big break in comedy was Airplane in 1980, which led to short-lived TV series Police Squad, which was then spun off into the Naked Gun film franchise.
That's right.
There were three Naked Gun movies, 88, 91, 94. Neeson continued working mostly in spoof-style comedies until his passing in 2010.
That's right.
This isn't official, but there's word that Neeson will play the son of Leslie Nielsen's character, Lieutenant Frank Dredlin.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I like the idea of them bringing this style of comedy back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that audiences will respond to it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't know if I'd bet on it, but I if I was offered the chance to be a producer on the show, I would take it.
Right.
I'd bet on the show. It just in part because of having Liam Neeson in it. He comes with a fan base, and he does comedy pretty darn well. He was actually on the second most recent season of Atlanta, and he played himself.
Wow.
And it was a darker kind of thing, but it was also funny at times.
Okay.
And he's just very good at this. He's very good at that kind of that kind of style of comedy, dark humor and that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he pulls off more spoofy type stuff.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the most interesting thing about it. Because although at the same time, when they cast Leslie Nielsen in Airplane, mm-hmm. he was known for serious stuff. I mean, that's all he had done before that. So
People in this state are very familiar with Leslie Nielsen's work, was doing a lot of commercial work in Milwaukee and that.
That's right. Yeah,
and that's where the brothers discovered him. Was him doing local commercials?
Yeah, the Zucker brothers. Yeah,
yeah, and he was, of course, he was well known in the theater circuit down
mm-hmm.
there.
Yep,
great actor.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, just also really good at comedy.
Yes,
really,
especially deadpan comedy.
Really. Comedies that I would have never watched, but I watched them because he was in it.
Yes.
He starred in it or something. Looking what's new on your small screen for tonight, Friday on Amazon, the first season finale of The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. That is going to be interesting. It's been an interesting show. Really has.
I've watched the first episode. I haven't gotten any further than that, but that's where I started. So
I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest pet peeve, but I do have to say they did something along with it being the most expensive TV show literally in human history. And it's beautiful. Like, even if you don't know what's going on, it's just beautiful to watch, right? The characters do develop as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And more times than not, when they're doing prequels, it's kind of interesting for us nerd fans to see the origin stories of this character or this character's lineage or his parents' parents or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
In this, you're seeing the origin stories of famous things. like in the saga.
Exactly, like places and
And I didn't see that coming. I didn't even think about that. So one of the big ones that happens in one of the later episodes, I'm just thinking about it, like, blows me away. Like I'm blown away by the
cool.
Like, oh my God, the writing, like, really well done, you guys. That nice. Was awesome.
Yep.
I don't want to say that it's for everybody. Even if you're a diehard Lord of the Rings fan, I don't know if you'll enjoy it.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
they take some liberties.
They do.
With the show and everything.
Yep, they
but,
do.
I got to think that if Tolkien could catch it himself, that Tolkien could catch it himself, that he would enjoy this. Because they do use his appendages. They took from everything from his work, really.
Right.
It started with his work.
He's got such a large body of work. I mean, it was never really published until after his death. But there's so much history that he put into those books that he wrote down that they can use it. And that's kind of what the blueprint. Would it have been what he would have done? Probably not. He would have done something different.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, that's art. You know, that's putting it out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Today on Apple TV Plus, the series finale of Jason Momoa's post-apocalyptic drama Sea. That's the show about where nearly everyone is born blind. I only saw a little bit of that the first season, but mm-hmm. Jason Momoa is so much better of an actor than he's given credit for, or the opportunities he's getting. I hope he gets a chance someday to really, like, show his. I'm not saying he's Paul Newman or anything like that, but he's got some more chops than he gets credit for.
Well, and he's kind of been, I mean, he's kind of become the younger Rock at this point because, you know, he's got the physique, you know, he's handsome and people focus on that more now than on his actual acting skill, which if you watch, man, I mean, he's actually pretty talented.
He's got some range. Friday on Peacock, Halloween Ends, the 13th movie in the Halloween franchise with Jamie Lee Curtis, last as Michael Myers' sister, Laurie or whatever.
Yeah, Laurie,
I know. I remember saying like the first like 90 of those, but I haven't seen the last 13. I guess.
What did they say? The end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Halloween. Sure.
Now they didn't do. I don't know why they didn't do this on the posters. I think they missed something. I know it's a horror and everything, but you could have some fun with it. They should have had Halloween Ends, but ends in parentheses, like ends. Everybody, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Sure. We're not gonna do this extremely profitable franchise anymore. No, we're not gonna do any more movies than that.
The Curse of Bridge Hollow is on Netflix. It stars Pyrrha Ferguson and Marlon Wayans. That's kind of
interesting.
I like Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
So that should be good. Also on the CW, the 9th season premiere of Penn & Teller Fool Us. On CMT at 9 o'clock tonight, CMT Artists of the Year. The performers are Alan Jackson, Carly Pierce, Cody Johnson, Kane Brown, Rainey Wilson.
Wow.
Sierra's also going to be there. The 19th season premiere of Whose Line Is It Anyway? On the CW. That's great to hear.
That's still going strong. Wow.
On Saturday, Megan Thee Stallion hosts Saturday Night Live. She is also the musical guest. Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Much better game than some of us expected it to be.
Wow, the Eagles. What's going on with the Eagles there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fly, Eagles, fly right
Yeah,
now.
Right.
Now, that's what happens when you have a coach that actually works his offense to the player and not vice versa.
Oh,
what I saw
see.
Last night. Dear God. Dear God.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
And on Sunday on HBO, the House episode 9 of House of the Dragon, that is also on your small screen. Let's see. Let's take a look at the big screen. What's new coming out in the movie theaters.
All right.
As I mentioned before, Halloween, quote unquote, ends. That is also a theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
So there's watching it on Peacock at home or watching it in the theaters. Both are options.
Yep.
One of the movies I'm looking forward to seeing, Till, rated PG-13. This is the emotionally devastating true story of one of America's most notorious hate crimes, the murder of 14-year-old Emmett Till, who was kidnapped, tortured, and lynched by white supremacists in 1955. After Emmett's death, Mammy Till demanded an open casket funeral so the world could see what was done to her son.
Mm-hmm.
Then she fought through her grief to try and get justice for her son, even though she knew no white jury in Mississippi would ever convict her son's killers.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy of Emmett's death and court failure to give her family justice helped launch the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only silver lining we can take from Emmett's passing, is that you pushed people too far.
Yep.
And this is something there is history is littered with these stories going all the way back to Rome, to Greece, to anything. You cannot keep a people down for too long. You cannot treat people a certain way for too long. No society gets away with this forever.
Nope.
You're just biding your time. You enjoy it while you got it, kind of thing, because it is not gonna, you're not gonna keep it that way for long. And it, as we see now and more as we go along here,
mm-hmm.
is there are we overdoing it with PCism? Yes. Are we overdoing it with the Me Too movement? Possibly. Yes, we are, because we got to correct the there's been an imbalance
yep.
for multiple decades.
Yep.
Things have been horrible.
And that's the big point. Yeah.
I got to think, even if you're the most racist fool out there listening to us or whatever, which if you're a racist, I don't know what you're listening to.
Yeah, why are you listening to us? Yeah.
I mean, keep on listening if you want. We'll take the ratings.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know what you're doing.
What?
It's these things. It's littered. History's littered with this stuff. And we as we get better and better in society, we learn more and more about it. We have to make overcorrections sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on right now. That's what's happening.
Yep.
In 10, 20 years, things balance out a little bit more.
That's
hopefully
the hope, yep.
it doesn't take that long. Hopefully it doesn't yeah. take longer than that. But this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the gray, all of it. We're still here.
That's one of those movies that I'm a little hesitant to watch, not because I don't think it's going to be good, but because of the subject matter.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
going to be a tough watch. I have seen the pictures of Emmett Till in the casket, and it's brutal.
It is.
I mean, it's one of the most heart-wrenching things you will ever look at.
It stays with you, too.
Yep.
Like, I saw it when I was a young man, and mm-hmm. It has never left me. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. Also new on your stage screen. WRCT's kicked off their 22-23 season with The Odd Couple, the great Neil Simon classic, directed mm-hmm. by the wonderful Gretchen Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Seth is, of course, Oscar in this show.
Yep.
And we've got a bunch of other people that we know in the show. You know, mm-hmm. Dr. Moselle's joined us a bunch of times, and
yep.
she's in it. Heather Sayers, who's celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, Heather.
Once again.
All in this show. And another other great actors and stuff. Of course, I mentioned Tim earlier. Tim is Felix.
Yep.
We love working with Tim. We love
yep.
Tim. So there's a lot of great cast. You guys had a couple of days off, and then you get back into the swing of things yesterday.
Yeah.
Thursday's show was always one of my favorite shows.
Oh, okay.
Because you usually had a really positive audience,
mm-hmm.
and you also had to kind of like, oh, man, you know, once you hit the stage and you get those first couple of shows down, like, all right, I got this. I feel good
yep.
about this. I'm worried about that part. And then you have that break, and you got to come back. And it's almost like you really get to clean the slate
mm-hmm.
and just kind of start over. How did last night go? How are you and the crew feeling?
Well, I told everyone last night, it's funny because I'm actually more nervous when we do the second week start
uh-huh.
because we haven't been doing it. So in the lead up to the first week, we're like every day,
yeah.
you know, and you get
yeah.
really into a rhythm and everything like that. Now you take a break and you have to get back into that rhythm. And that's something I'm not concerned that it's not going to be a good show. I'm just like, how long is it going to take for us to get
yes,
back into it again?
Yes.
You know, our lines are fine. We're all good with that stuff. I have to tell you, last night we had a wonderful audience. Most, you know, I will tell you, every single audience is different. I've never had a bad audience.
Mm-hmm.
But last night it was a big audience, and I'm very happy about that. For me, the more people, the better. And when they're laughing at just about every single line that you're doing, you have no idea what that does to the performers on the stage. It
yeah.
gives us a little extra gear
yeah.
in order to perform better. And I think it really showed. With the performance we gave last night. I think we, you know, it took a little bit to get going again, but once we were going, we were clicking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really good. We got some great compliments from all kinds of different people. Appreciate everyone who came out. And we got a couple more shows coming up. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, come on, get them. Don't want to miss this one.
I noticed this when I was able to do To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a show that is so familiar to the audience
yeah.
and so known. And I can remember being on stage and hearing somebody in the crowd whispering the lines that I was delivering
wow.
for To Kill a Mockingbird
yeah.
and that kind of thing. And then, you know, you worry, well, how are they going to enjoy this show? Are they going to get a kick mm-hmm. out of it and everything? And then the whole run with that show every crowd was amazing, mm-hmm. just amazing, and so kind and so giving afterwards. And so many of them had seen that show years before and years before that, or seen the movie.
Yep.
That's the joy, the beauty, the oftentimes frustration, and sometimes needed braveness when it comes to theater.
Yeah.
You've seen The Odd Couple. You know the theme song. You know the characters and all this stuff. But you don't know the WRCT version.
Exactly.
You don't know the Gretchen-directed Tim and Seth version of mm-hmm. these characters. And every night is different. That's live theater. Ain't nothing like it.
Yep.
If you were even a loose fan of the show, we encourage you to take it in. Not only to support local, support theater, but have a good time. It's a comedy. You're going to laugh your tail off.
You are going to laugh. One thing I do want to add is one thing we don't talk about a lot with theater. It's participatory.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the audience, you are participating in the art that we're creating. I don't want it to sound too pretentious, because it's a comedy. It's fun. We're having tons of fun up there, and we hope the audience is too. And when you do that, when you join in, when you just jump right in, mm-hmm. we feel it. We feel it on stage.
Everybody likes to take shots at actors and acting, mm-hmm. and a monkey could do it, all these things. And I'm not even going to fight you on it. As every animal actor has ever shown you, yes, even animals can act.
Animals can do it.
But there is a huge difference of the dog that played Rin Tin Tin mm-hmm. and Paul Newman. You know? I mean, there's a gigantic difference of these things. And one of the things that our art gets to do that not a lot of arts get to is that what you just said there, Seth. We create artists. We mm-hmm. bring you into the art. You're a part of it. If you're laughing, if you're sighing, if you're paying attention, you're engaged. You are a part of the show as much as we are. And we want you to be a part of it.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun one. I do want to remind the audience as well, Miracle on 34th Street auditions are coming up Monday and Tuesday, October 17th and 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Be at 6:30. Scripts are available at the WRCT office, so keep that in mind. You might want to pick up scripts, stop by there, be familiar with that place too, because you're going to be seeing shows there all year long.
That's right.
And it kicks off tonight. Go to the show tonight. It's at 7.
Yep.
You can go there a little bit early if you'd like.
That's okay. Get some a snack, something.
And support local. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, mm-hmm. or of course you can get them right there at the gate, right there the day.
Good walk up last night. We had quite a few people come in off the street, so it's good.
Very good to hear.
Yeah.
Very good to hear. The WRCT studio is of course the good WRCT main stage. Of course, mm-hmm. is right there in the Centralia Center.
Mm-hmm.
We say a good morning to all of our friends over at the Centralia Center.
Mm-hmm.
And again, wrctheater.org. So one other thing I want to touch on before we go to break. This Sunday, we've been very lucky to have a lot of original shows on this network, mm-hmm. on our station here, and even more for it. Seth, don't look outside. Don't do it. Don't. He did it.
Oh, no. Oh.
Don't look outside, everybody.
Just give me a second.
Dang it.
Ugh.
Oh, Mother Nature. How dare you?
Oh, man. It's October. Come on.
It's October, Mother Nature. Kids got little, Halloween costumes they're going to be wearing and stuff. Don't do this to us. Coming up this Sunday, you'll have not as much improv in that, but you'll have Seth Faces the Music to look forward to.
Yes.
I just a big shout out to our ownership that has worked with us to collaborate, not subtract.
Yes.
I've heard from people that they were so thankful that the show is still there, Seth. They love it. They enjoy it.
I'm glad.
Seth Faces the Music, tell us about it.
This Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. Check it out. We have the theme this week is, I'm kind of surprised it took me this long to get to it.
Yeah.
It's about kissing. Okay, right now you could probably name 2, 3, 5 songs that have, kiss in the title,
absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just one caveat, there are no songs by the band Kiss. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh, interesting.
I'm sorry. There's certain things I don't want to do.
Hey.
It's my show, though. I can choose.
That was low-hanging fruit. You could have went there.
I know.
Good on you for not doing it.
But it's some great tunes. Of course, a lot that you've heard before, some big hits. But also, of course, it's Seth Faces the Music. You're going to hear a lot of stuff you haven't heard before from artists that you may have heard of, but songs maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It's a great mix of tunes like I try to do every week with that. So check it out, 6 to 8 on Sunday. Seth Faces the Music, all about kissing.
It's a good good topic, good show. Mm-hmm. That should be a lot of fun. It's been great talking with you and I, talking with Sage about the idea that he has about creating stuff on Spotify for these songs. So say Seth has his show and you only get to catch a little bit of it, or you really jammed out to it, but you weren't recording the radio.
Right.
You'll have on Spotify the whole set playlist from Seth Faces the Music.
That's
you'll,
right.
You'll have those kind of things.
We'll even be able to throw in the little segments that when I break in, you know, and get to set up the songs and tell you what they are. We can throw those on there, make a playlist of basically the whole show. It'll be right there. You can go back. And we have to do that because of licensing issues, you know, with music and stuff. We can't just record it and put it on our website. We can't do that. So that's why we have to do it this way. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're working on that right now.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out the best way to do it. And I can't wait. It's going to be great if we can put that somewhere else.
It's exciting. That is a new day around here. That's awesome. Be sure to spread the word about Seth Faces the Music Sunday, 6 to 8. Be sure to catch it. Everybody, going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up our entertainment segment when we come back on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It's getting dangerous around here.
Yes.
I shouldn't share this. It's embarrassing, but I'm gonna. Melissa does the show from time to time with her shoes off.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten all about like that being an option.
You know? Right.
So I've been doing that from time to time.
Yeah,
And I'm so good at radio that you guys don't even know when my shoes are off. That's how good I... No, I'm joking.
So professional. Can't even tell.
I went to put my shoes back on, and as I'm doing that, I bent down to put it up, and I smack my head on the board here on the table.
You're not supposed to be doing that.
Like I'm in a Laurel and Hardy comedy or something, like on the Three Stooges or something like that.
Yeah, jeez.
Man. Oh, that did not feel good. No. I'm a little dazed on that one. I hit it good. I hit it.
Jeez.
Well, we know this. This table is strong.
It's solid.
We got a solid good table here. Nicely done, table makers. Table makers.
Yeah, well.
So, we got 23 kid-friendly Halloween movies right
okay,
now we're going to
cool.
go over. We're not going to hit all these. We'll just kind of run through some of them, but some of them we'll take our little bit of time with. Let's look at the top 10.
Okay.
At number 10, Coraline from 2009.
Oh, okay. The Tim Burton
associated
film, yeah.
I think it's the only Tim Burton movie I haven't seen. I think it's the only one I
really?
Haven't seen it is.
Wow.
Yeah. No, no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
Not intentionally. It's just my kids were older by the time that came out, and
right.
my sister was older, and these are the people that I usually saw kids' movies with.
Quick note about that. My favorite band, They Might Be Giants, were supposed to do the music for that, and they wrote a couple of songs. It didn't work out, you know, just for whatever reason. Lots of different things came up.
Yeah.
But they have a couple of songs from there, including one called Coraline, which is really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
So, but.
did they release them then?
Yeah, they did. They were allowed to release them, yeah.
Cool. At number nine, my favorite Christmas movie, my favorite Halloween movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
More Tim Burton, yes.
I am the Pumpkin King from 1993, as if this one's not already on your list or something.
Yeah.
Gremlins from 1984. This one's got a bit of a mean streak and some really dark humor. So again, probably not the youngest of the young.
Yeah, I remember seeing that when I was probably a little too young to see it, and it did kind of creep me out a little bit. It's a good movie. I mean, it's a fun movie, but yeah, I'm not sure when I would have a kid watch that one.
Good horror movie for maybe young teenagers. Maybe
Preteens.
Preteen, kind of thing. They feel like they're getting to watch something a little adultish, but it's not really too
adult.
It's
not that bad,
no. Yeah. Huh. Casper from 1995, the Christina Ricci one.
Yeah, that's a cute one.
Yeah. Twitches from 2005, Tia and Tamara Mori, those twins.
Wow, I don't know if I've ever heard of that one.
I've never heard of that one, yeah.
Interesting.
And I just got the title. It took me 5 seconds longer than it should have. I really did smack my head.
Man.
Ghostbusters from 1984.
That's a good one.
There are now two direct sequels, but don't sleep on the all-female reboot from 2016.
Yeah.
It is not, you know, all of them were good.
Yeah, right.
I didn't mind the all-female one. I thought that was a fun version. Mm-hmm. I love the cast. I mean, such a perfect cast.
Cast was great. Yeah.
Really good cast. I loved the Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mm-hmm. I did not know I was going to love it as much as I did. I think they did something in that movie that I don't think I don't think I've ever seen, certainly a comedy ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being able to say goodbye to somebody who meant so much to so many. And while they're doing it with the character, you also know that he's gone. So as a, as an adult, you're watching and you're like,
yeah,
Ivan was amazing. Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, you know, I mean, Harold Ramis, man.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis, just in TV comedy or movie comedy history, just has never gotten the due he deserved, even going back to his Second City days.
Yep.
I'm so proud of that. My former school, my alma mater, if you will, that they had the Harold Ramis film school as a part of Second City. And it is like that reason alone, let alone it was fun to see the guys come back and many of the tie-ins and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the kids from Stranger Things is in it. Did a great job.
Little was it the wolf? What's his name?
Yeah. Really good. Like good casting too.
Yep.
Halloween Town from 1998, a Disney Channel original.
Yep.
Don't know that one.
That one still gets the rounds too on Disney. They do it like every year. They keep showing it. It's not a bad one. It's not bad.
The Addams Family from 1991. There's also a direct sequel, Addams Family Values, Addams Family Reunion. There's an animated version, but the 91 version is still the, for me, I mean, other than the TV show, the classic.
The most brilliant piece of casting, I think. One of the most brilliant pieces of casting ever. Raul Julia was made to be Gomez.
Really was.
He was.
I hope that he enjoyed it as much as it seemed like he did.
Oh, God. He looked like he was having a ball.
Just so good. Such good casting.
That whole movie was cast brilliantly.
Yeah. Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Angelica Houston. I mean, oh my gosh.
I forget sometimes about how dang good Angelica Houston is as Morticia.
Oh,
I mean, I loved Leslie Ann, or the young lady who played her in the TV show, Lily Allen.
I know what you're saying. Oh my gosh!
I can't think of it. I had a crush on her as a kid, and I didn't even know.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember her name.
Get this: I have a crush on her as a kid in the Addams Family, but I don't realize that they're reunion or reruns and everything as a kid. So I'm thinking she's like, you know,
she's still that age, right?
Just classic. Anything Addams Family, I'm all in on.
Even check out the original cartoons by Charles Addams. Those are funny.
So good.
They're hilarious.
So good. Number two on the list, Beetlejuice from 1988. Now, we can only say that name once. We don't want to get into much trouble.
You say it three times.
This one's got some swearing in it and mild sexuality. So, again, like 15, 16, 17, like that might be more of where you're looking.
Yeah, just because, I know when did that come out again? Does it have the year?
88.
That came out in 88?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, wow, I thought it was in the 90s. Anyway.
We're old.
But at the same time, I'm guessing, James, I'm just throwing it out there. That might have been one of the first times you saw Winona Ryder.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's when you fell in love.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, because I think I did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I was close.
Yeah.
It was either that or Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands, the one I saw first.
Oh, that was, okay.
But Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, it doesn't matter. I will follow that woman to the sun, like to this day. I believe she is married and happily, and I wish her well. I have no interest in like her romantically or anything. Thing, but I would follow her to the sun.
One of those crushes when you're a kid that you'll never forget.
Just doesn't change. Angela Bassett, similar thing to that. Same thing. Like, I follow to the sun. Wherever you're, Wakanda, the sun, wherever you're going, Angela Bassett, I'll follow you. Hocus Pocus is number one on this list from 1993.
Yep, and there you go. That's the cult classic now. It's become so popular. Yeah. I mean, with so many generations, too. It's really remarkable. Enough to for them to make an actual sequel, bring everyone back.
A sequel, and really not even like almost like a Mel Brooks like sequel, like where it takes like 20 years for it to come out or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Or the parody film that takes 20 film years
to come out. Yeah, exactly.
That's more an example. Yeah. We'll play Melissa's News. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Perfect. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Seth and James here, just a couple of werewolves of rapids.
That was good. I like that one.
We are having some fun this morning, getting you ready for Halloween and touching on a bunch of stuff, getting you ready for your weekend. Don't let Mother Nature slow you down, everybody. Yeah, have fun this weekend. pay her no mind.
Yeah, do not. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So this is an interesting study. A new study looked into when and how Americans decide to intervene in bad situations.
Ooh, interesting.
They came up with 10 scenarios and gave people 4 options for how they might hypothetically react, physically intervening, verbally intervening, calling 911, or doing nothing.
Okay.
A physical intervention was popular in 3 scenarios. A man making sexual advances towards a very drunk woman.
Yeah.
A person violently kicking or abusing a dog.
Oh, yeah.
And a man hitting his female partner. Yeah. This is the dirty secret about violence, about anger. It gets stuff done. I know. It should be the last step, and it's not a good thing, and all that stuff. And you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with any of that. And at the same time, I'm sorry, and I know it's not kosher and cool to say. Unfortunately, it's true. It's sometimes it takes anger to fight anger. It takes anger to fight hate. This is why there are wars. This is why there, boxing or anything. I mean, it's again the last option, the last possible option, push the red button kind of thing.
Right.
But again, it's there for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, and it's using. I mean, and in general, you know, anger. It's a legitimate emotion. It's something that we all feel at some time or another, and generally trying to use it constructively is the best way. But you know, as you've said, and I'm saying this as a person who's never been in a physical altercation in his life, that there would probably be a time when it would happen. You know, there are times when I felt like it. You know, I think we've all had those. Yeah, it's like kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, you know, you're right. We got to keep it as like the very last nuclear option, literally.
Right.
You know.
Right. A verbal intervention was a common response in 2 situations: a police officer inflicting unnecessary pain on someone they're arresting, mm-hmm. and a person yelling racial slurs at someone who's a racial minority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Calling 911 was the way a lot of people would handle these 3 scenarios: a person who's homeless and who may need medical help, a person standing on the ledge of a bridge seemingly contemplating suicide. And a person who appears to be very intoxicated getting into a car to drive.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay, those are all law related. Right. They are. I mean, you can't drink and drive, so mm-hmm. that would be a good reason to call the police, yeah.
Yeah. I am not in favor of every little thing calling them about, but when this law is being broken, that's the game.
That's what they're supposed to be, right? Yeah. That's what they're supposed to do.
Most people say they do nothing in 2 situations: a loud confrontation between a business and a customer mm-hmm. over masking or anything else,
mm-hmm.
and a parent slapping their young child who is misbehaving. And I think they're also referring to like a spanking, you know, that.
Yeah, I don't think they're like beating him on the head or something like that. I think it's more like a tap on the back or the butt or something like that. Yeah, I think that's what they're referring to.
In all of the 10 situations, women are more likely than men to say that the situation warranted some form of intervention.
Okay.
Women are especially more likely than men to say the situation warranted a 911 call.
Okay.
Of all the situations, the most people would intervene is some way if they thought someone was contemplating suicide. That was the one that most people, almost 99% of the vote, people are going to react to that.
Right.
They're going to call 911.
Yeah, and that's one of those things because of what's involved. It's more then it would be better to be embarrassed if they're not doing it than to actually just say no, they're probably not. It would probably be better to just to check, make sure. And then if there is a situation, then you can get other people involved. Yeah.
The least people would step in into an argument over, customers' business stuff, like anything to do with, a price haggling or a coupon not being accepted, that kind of thing. Most of us are just going to kind of, what do you do in those scenarios? What do I got here in my bag? What do I got in my box here? I'm just going to look at this. I'm not looking.
Right.
Somebody call me, please. Yeah. Somebody please call me so I can just pretend I'm on the phone.
Yeah. Well, and there's a reason for that, too, because the store should have in place policies where if something like that happens, you get a manager. You know, you diffuse the situation as best you can.
Yeah.
If you get involved in that, it might actually make it worse. I mean, if you get more than one person involved. So there's that to consider as well.
I think you don't have to grow up in the projects like I did to be like this. I think that a lot of small town mentality is this way too, mm-hmm. of minding your own business. And I got no problem with that. I'm a big fan of that actually in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Except it's 2022. And certain things we cannot turn a blind eye to anymore. And if you are certain that there is abuse going on in the house, I drop a dime. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I know that a lot of people gasping at that. A lot of people don't like that. And I don't like it either. I don't like it either. Nope. I don't like that I live in a world where I feel like I got to do that. Mm-hmm. But if I see a man hurting a woman or a woman hurting a man or children or anything like that, you're damn right I'm not going to just sit there and take that. Mm-hmm. If I'm sure of it, loud noises in a house or whatever, like that, I've got to be certain.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in some scenarios. But that's also the world we live in, because I don't want to waste our police officers' time. I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't want to have these people that are, you know, maybe good people, and here I'm bringing this in. I want to be damn sure. And if I am, yeah, I'm stepping up. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm saying something. It's a new day, everybody. We're not going to physical abuse to somebody you love. We're not taking that going forward. They're, history is going to judge us on certain things.
Yep.
And this is a big one. And the idea that 20, 30 years from now, when they look back at us and see, hey, look at those domestic violence numbers after the pandemic, after the quarantine. Look at how those rose. Mm-hmm. Look at how the lack of people helping those people and all
right.
this.
Right.
If there is a part of your body out there that is listening to this and think that there is any scenario where it's okay to hurt someone you love, mm-hmm. walk away from me. Walk away from this show. Walk away from this. Just this show. I'm not just talking about what I'm in charge of, mm-hmm. what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the stuff, I'm not speaking for anybody else.
Right.
But we got no room for that.
Yeah.
Not in this world. Not where we're going forward here. Now, if you want to get better, you don't want to be that kind of person, you know, we'll work with you.
We'll get some help. Let's get some help.
But to the person out there who's digging their feet in the dirt and like, no, it was okay when I was young. Ugh. It's okay now. Sorry, man.
That doesn't fly. Sorry.
And I'll tell you this, and I'm sorry if this is dark and everything, but time only goes one direction. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, there are younger people who are taking over. And they have a different mindset. They have different mm-hmm. morals. Yep. And this is not okay. And it's not going to be okay with the newer generations.
Right. Well, and especially with children. They have no defense. There is no defense. And they are completely vulnerable. And that's unacceptable, like you were saying.
Yep.
It's absolutely unacceptable.
There is nothing more cowardly in life to me than hurting someone you love, and especially hurting a child.
Defenseless, like animals, same thing. Yes. Pets, yes. They are defenseless. Yes. There's nothing they can do.
You're a coward.
Yeah.
You're a coward. You're no type of human being to me.
No.
I'll say that right to your face.
Yeah.
No issue at all doing that. You'd be lucky if that's all I do to your face. We'll take a break on that.
Next, violence is not the answer, James.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm reminding myself that. we'll come back and we'll have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, 9:51 on the clock. Wrap up the show for the week, taking you to the top of the hour. Seth and James here with mm-hmm. you. And got a That Ain't Right story I want to touch on here. It's sort of a That Ain't Right story.
Okay, all right.
A comedian named Dan Lamort posted a TikTok video of the leaderboard on his grandma's wall that she uses to rank and re-rank her 10 grandchildren. He recently jumped up to fourth place, so her fourth favorite grandkid, but he just got two new tattoos, so she dropped him back to 10th.
That's hilarious.
I think as long as everybody's in on the joke, this is hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, right now, my grandmother is making pasta in heaven for somebody and is laughing and also mad at herself that she didn't
she
think
didn't
of
do
this.
The same thing.
My Nana, my grandmother, both of them, like, oh, we should have thought of this, Anne.
We should have
thought of this. That's a great idea.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
It's a That Ain't Right story if you're at number 10.
Yeah. What did you do? I mean, seriously, come on.
It's a good story of the day if you're in the top five. Yeah. If you're I'd be happy with being top five.
Oh, man.
That is a really good one.
That's funny.
That's just too darn funny.
Yeah, just don't do it with like little kids.
Yeah.
Do it with adult children, then totally just jump right in.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Now, you're so right about that. Little kids never going to necessarily
devastate
get this.
Them.
Yeah. I wanted to get into this one, too, because I think this can be really helpful to people, especially those that wear contacts. Have you ever had a contact lens get stuck up inside your eyelid? Yes, and it's nerve-wracking. It's uncomfortable, and it's nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
But how is this even possible? A video from an eye doctor in Newport Beach, California, is going viral after she removed 23 contact lenses from a woman's right eye.
What? What? Whoa. Wait, what? Huh?
Now, that's a horror movie to me.
Oh, my.
Now, that is a horror movie to me. In the video, it only looks like a dozen or so, but it turned out to be a bunch of them that were stuck together. Once she separated them, it was 23. The patient was an older lady. Her eye doctor thinks she just kept falling asleep with them in. Then she'd forget the next morning.
Put a new one in. Yeah.
Yep. She even tells her in the video that it might be a world record, but believe it or not, it isn't. Back in 2017, a doctor in the UK was prepping a 67-year-old woman for cataract surgery and found 17 lenses in one eye and 10 later on. So she had a record 27.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
Definitely one of those freakier things. There are things that you got to be careful about with contacts.
Yes, that's why I never, ever, ever wear them.
I don't blame you.
It's like glasses. Yep.
If it wasn't for acting, I probably wouldn't have never gone in contacts. Mm-hmm. But at 18, I was told that, oh, well, it's going to be you're that much harder, or you're going to be that, you're going to be kind of more typecast.
If you wear glasses, yeah.
So it was really important to me to, like, I could wear glasses as an option if you want it for the character, but look, I'm that clay that you can mold. That's what I've always tried to do for casting agents. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Yeah, touching your eyeball is weird. Like it, I've gotten can't used it. To it, but can't it's never. It. It's not something I've really gotten used to.
I can't. I just. Yeah, I don't even want to try.
We got some good stories of the day. A bunch of them are local. We talked about earlier. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater is back at it with The Odd Couple. Mm-hmm. Be sure to get your tickets and go see that show. Support local. Support the arts.
Yes.
Again, WRCT's theater, WRCtheater.org is where you can get those tickets. Mm-hmm. Show will be starting at 7 tonight, Saturday. And then on Saturday, you also have a 2 o'clock matinee.
That's correct.
Keep that in mind. And Wisconsin's Science Festival is kicking off. Science by the River is going on. We're going to be talking about that actually in just a little bit.
Yeah.
We have our good friend coming in. Colton. Colton's going to be coming in to talk with us about that in part two of Morning Magazine.
That's very cool.
Just wanted to remind everybody about that. You can find out more by going to WisconsinScienceFest.org. WisconsinScienceFest.org. You get kids early on in this stuff, and they just find a love affair with it the rest of their lives.
They do.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard. Thank you, Bill Nye. Thank you, all those characters.
Beekman's World.
Another good one. Yeah. And here's some other good stories of the day. A couple in the UK both recently turned 100 and also celebrated their 75th anniversary.
Oh, jeez.
They say their secret to their success is having one small fight every day, and they also still drink.
I was waiting for the drink because they always say that they drink something. Yes.
They always throw that in there.
I have a glass of whiskey every day, you know, something like that.
I wonder how often they actually do, you know?
I like the small fight thing, though. That's good.
It's funny. A Colorado woman just became a police officer, and the officer who pinned her badge on is the same cop who saved her 20 years ago.
Wow.
He found her in a meth den as a baby. She eventually got adopted by a couple who gave her a much better life.
That is a great story.
They just never get old to you, man.
No.
You know what I mean? These kind of stories.
Wow, that's amazing.
Really is. An 11-year-old Shiba Inu named Gordon just won a Pedigree's Cutest Rescue Dog Contest. He got hit by a car in Taiwan years ago and uses a wheelchair now, but he's still happy as ever. Oh. A couple in Alabama took him in.
Nice.
The undying spirit of animals.
I'm telling you.
Just incredible. Never gets old. It's incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in other dog news, this is kind of like that friend who moved to L.A. to be an actor and failed, but it's good because then they found their real calling.
Oh, great.
A breeder in Washington State paid $10,000 for a purebred lab named Duke and hoped he'd be a good show dog someday. But she entered him. She entered him in some competitions, and every time a judge touched him, he'd just roll over and want them to rub his belly, which is, you know, certainly
that's awesome.
The opposite of what you want your stage dog to do.
I don't care. That's awesome.
It is awesome. You're right. It is. So he couldn't hack it as a show dog and flamed out. But it turns out he's much better at something else anyway. He now works for the Oregon Department of Human Services as a comfort dog for kids.
That's way better. It's way better. Yeah. No, who cares about show dog? Yeah, that's
honestly
way awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you had that money to spend on the dog, I'm imagining you had that money to spend. So, so I'm not feeling bad about that.
No.
That's really cool.
But that's great. That's a wonderful story.
That's a really, really good one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I noticed I didn't get a chance to really go through my work email here with everything going on this morning. But I did see that somebody sent us a good story of the day. I will take a look at that, and we'll have it for you on Monday probably.
Okay, very good.
I know that there are many, many good stories of the day locally out there. We want as many of them as we can get. Get them to us, everybody. Just like you send us your birthdays or anniversaries, send them to info@WFHR or James@WFHR.com. WFHR. Direct message us on Facebook. Get us those good stories of the day.
Yes.
Seth, do you mind touching on that one more time?
Yes. Tonight, we do have some special programming starting at 7 o'clock. We have the gubernatorial debate between Governor Tony Evers and challenger Tim Michaels. That's going from 7 to 8 tonight. A little special. We are civic media, so we're civic-minded here, and we want you to know and hear these debates. We've had a couple of those already this week. We had the January 6th hearings yesterday, and now we've got this coming up. This is the only chance, everybody, to hear this.
Yeah.
We will be rebroadcasting it at Sunday at 1. We do have the Badger game on Saturday at 1, so we won't be doing it then, but Sunday at 1 we'll be rebroadcasting in case you miss it tomorrow. But stay tuned for that. It's coming down tonight, 7 to 8, the one and only gubernatorial debate for Wisconsin.
And, of course, on our sister station, WIRI, home of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, we got high school football on the radio. Our pregame kicks off at 6:50. Nakusa hosting Wittenberg, Bermingwood.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Paul on the call. Don going to run the board. You know it's going to sound good with those two. Wisconsin Badger football on your radio right here at WFHR. Our coverage starts at 1, Wisconsin at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a great one. Stick around for Morning Magazine. Seth, you have a good day.
You too.
We'll be back with more coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.